been an interesting week. You kind of you get very, very similar to starting a new job. You kind of you think you're doing it the right way, and then it's just God in His mercy shows you you're blatantly off track. You're not doing it correctly. Do it again. And so it was an exhausting week preparing for this week of services. Kind of typified this morning. I wanted to press the shirt, make sure it looked good, and I don't know how, but it appears that a Hershey's Kiss got in the ironing board, because I put it on there and just like. Thank God Tiffany smart enough to have a backup shirt for me, and Lily took care of it, because clearly I was in no shape. But that was kind of in preparing for this message, and as we turn to Acts chapter 20, we'll find that it's okay to make mistakes. That's one of the many ways God shows us that we're not right with Him, that we're not we're not as thankful as we should be for the grace that He bestows on us. That just these little nitpicky things are such an inconvenience to us. So. Acts chapter, and I want to say I'm very thankful for Josh and Tanya Spencer, who openly said they were praying for me this week, and also Pastor Hain, who isn't here, but I'm sure he's watching. So thank you for your prayers. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. Mm-hmm. In the hopes that we'd have those that need to step forward as volunteers for our church maintenance needs, or even announce their desire to run for office, perhaps as a trustee, but we have I want to say like 15 or 20 positions that Ms. Amy Morey could get you a list of positions that you could be used to serve the church. And there'll be a lot of transferables, but over the past 2 years, I've filled the office of a trustee of this church, and I've learned quite a bit hands-on. And wouldn't you know, there are biblical applications to what I've learned, and we'll go through a few of those this morning, and you can just be thinking, because we'll have elections in January for all those positions. I pray God would meet with us as we look over these verses. And how they could be related to just your day-to-day tasks, to outside of necessarily work, volunteering for the church, that everyone would profit and someday strengthen their stewardship, be it a homemaker or a business owner. Now, I want to define a volunteer as someone that there's just some definitions that I'm going to be using throughout the message. A volunteer is someone that sees a need and is desirous to see that need through to completion. So they may ask Jim or another elder of the church, how can I, what should I do to see this through? What resources do I need? How can I help? Now, a trustee, they have a legal responsibility that this building is safe to occupy. They also review the expenses and income of the church on a weekly basis. And they have one meeting a month to review the finances and to prioritize tasks. So that's the difference between those two positions. From personal experience, I can say you'll be given the opportunity as a volunteer or a trustee to to learn these lessons: time management, budgeting, observing cash flow, authorizing and reviewing expenses, project management, working with people, thinking ahead, being able to put more than money in the offering plate, and one that is near and dear to me, as Mrs. Ford shared with me from her time at Grace Bible, and it was this instruction that she had received: use the church to build the people. Don't use the people to build the church. And within that, there are really two lessons. There's that the church can build people, and that it's reflexive for people to want to build the church.
Amen.
But if you turn with me to Titus chapter 2, it was funny, as I was preparing for this message, I said that, and so I'm kind of reading this message, and Victor's listening, and I said, Titus, that's kind of a hard book in the Bible to find, and he just rattled off Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus. From his mother would go through the books of the Bible in order, and just that repetition, he rattled that off and just humbled me, because I was struggling to find it, and here's Victor showing me right where it is. So I'm in chapter 2 of Titus, very popular verse. We'll go ahead and start right in verse 1, Titus chapter 2, verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, and that's what I want to focus on, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. And boy, there's a lot there, and really I just scratching the surface here. The aged women are to do likewise. So then it is implied that the aged men are also in like manner to teach the young men. So that likewise is a two-way road there, which I don't think keeping a nice building where God's word can be preached would be excluded from a good thing. We'll find it's expected, actually, but we'll have to circle back to that while I better finish that thought we started. Let the church build the people. Don't let the people build the church. We'll find more on the second half of that thought in Luke 10. The Epistle of Luke, chapter 10, verse 38. Another very popular part of Scripture. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him to her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. And so we're looking very specifically at how easy it is for us to get bogged down with the day-to-day, the cares of the world, the to-do list, the desires of our heart, that we could turn our eye from what God would have us to focus on, His Word, and that we would busy ourselves with just a list of things to be done, a grocery list of things to be accomplished. Within these 2 years as a trustee, I've made many mistakes, and if I had to rank them, this would be very near to the top. Nate built a shed out here to house our snowblower, and I had already been taught this lesson: don't let the people build the church. But as events would transpire, Nate shouldered that responsibility on his own, and what we missed from that, from what was missed, the mistake that I made through my leadership, is that opportunity for fellowship, for two, three men to carry that burden, to be able to fellowship, to talk about where they're at, what they're seeing from God's Word, to share lunch together, things of that nature. So rather than repeat that same mistake and burn out the church, what we'd like to do in this coming year is organize our tasks such that teams of two would be completing those tasks. So as you leave the church today, if you go through this front door, you'll notice on the right a task list that'll look very similar to this, an opportunity for people to sign up to do just that. Let's turn to Haggai chapter 1. Haggai is a very, it's in the Minor Prophets, so if you have the New Testament right there in Matthew, you just go back a few books to find it. Which I'm going to do this. I'm going to take that same path. Matthew. Malachi, Zechariah. And it's a very short book, so it's easy to go right over. So it's right after Zechariah. The book of Haggai, chapter 1, verse 1. I'm going to read verse 1 so that we can see. We'll see that this book takes place the exact time as the book of Ezra, which we'll also be reading from. In the second year of Darius, this is Haggai chapter 1, verse 1. In the second year of Darius, the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Zealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say the time is come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, It is time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses. So that means a house with a ceiling. And this house, Liwei, is talking of the house of God. So they're talking to people that live in nice houses. God is talking to them about his house not being nice. So long as we live in nice houses, God expects his word to be preached from a nice house. And now we could meet that expectation two ways. We could visit Bob's house next week, and the following week we could stop by Peter's house, and much the way the Amish do. Or we could just keep the house that God's given us nice and just continue to meet here. Either way, both two ways to meet the same expectation. Let's jump to verse 5. I guess we're continuing in verse 5. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. Can I get an amen on that? Right? Yes. Where does the money go? And, the eternal question. 7 and 8. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. This will be supported in what we'll read in Ezra, but can you see how volunteering allows you to put more than just money, money and something, into the offering plate, and how it pleases God to dwell in a dedicated house? Let's jump to chapter 2 of this book, and we'll exhaust what I've seen here. In the seventh month, so this is fast forwarding, in the seventh month, in the 1 and 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, keep now to Zerubbabel, the son of Zealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory, and how do ye see it now? Is it not in your eyes by comparison of it as nothing? Time is slipping away. We'll just jump to verse 9. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. And that's really our desire, is that this house would be a place where guests or congregation members, they find peace. That it wouldn't be the magnificence of the walled structure, how high the ceilings are, how gilded, how everything's draped in gold. It would be that peace that God offers, that would reign, and that is what people will come to benefit from. Let's turn to Luke chapter 14. Continuing in those lessons I've learned as a trustee, Jim Wilcox actually, we sat down and looked at this verse at one time. He opened it to me, and I'm thankful for it. It'll always share a special memory in that regard. In Luke chapter 14, verse 28, it says, for which of you intendeth to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish it. So assuming that position as trustee, you get the opportunity to budget, to collect estimates, observe cash flow, authorize and review expenses. All these things you probably haven't been exposed to previously, but you have the opportunity to learn how to do that from the senior members. Let's turn to Ezra, and we'll be nesting in here for the remaining time. Excuse me, the book of Ezra. Ezra is right after Chronicles. Ezra chapter 1, verse 1. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also into writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him. Let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. So we see here that King Cyrus is authorizing those people that would build the temple to go forth and do it. So those men answered that call. Verse 4, and whosoever remaineth in any place wherein he sojourn, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts beside the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. So we see that opportunity not only to put money, silver, gold, and goods in the offering plate to meet the expenses of the church, but also the ability to build, to craft that temple. Now I imagine all these men of verse 3, I'm sure there were some people proficient in swinging hammer, but I've got to think amongst that whole group that there were also overseers that made sure everybody started on time, made sure people didn't take extra long weekends or ate lunch when they were supposed to. There were people gifted in organization, and we need both types. We need the handy and the organized to fill this position. In verse 4, we also see that those that gave materials or money, that it didn't go unnoticed. Let's jump ahead to verse 68, chapter 2, verse 68. We'll just kind of not spend a lot of time here, just pop onto verse 68. And some of the chief of the fathers, when they came to the house of the Lord, which is at Jerusalem, offered freely for the house of God to set it up in his place. And verse 69, they gave after their ability under the treasure of the work 80 drams of gold and 5,000 pounds of silver and 100 priest garments. So they collected and assigned as God allowed to the building of their new temple. Chapter 3, verse 1. And when the seventh month came, and when the seventh month was come, and the Lord of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. Then stood up Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and his brethren, the priests, and Zerubbabel, the son of Sealtiel, and his brethren, and builded the altar of God of Israel to offer burnt offerings thereon, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. And they set up the altar upon his bases, for fear was upon them because of the people of those countries. And they offered burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord, even burnt offerings morning and night. And now we'll see things got even busier once they finished the altar. Verse 4, they kept also the feasts of tabernacles, as it is written, and offered the daily burnt offerings by number, according to the custom, as the duty of every day required. And afterward offered the continual burnt offerings, both of the new moons and of all the set feasts of the Lord that were consecrated, and of every one that willingly offered a freewill offering unto the Lord. So time management, you're still going to have all the responsibilities of keeping your own house, going to work, keeping your wife happy, playing with the kids, whatever it may be. But on top of that, God will teach you how to use your time more wisely, that you could meet the needs of either volunteering or being a trustee. Therefore creating an opportunity for Christian growth. And who doesn't want to be a profitable servant of Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Verse 6. From the first day of the seventh month began they to offer burnt offerings unto the Lord. But the foundation of the temple of the Lord was not yet laid. They gave money also unto the masons and to the carpenters, and meat and drink and oil unto them of Zidon and to them of Tyre, to bring cedar trees from Lebanon to the trees of Joppa, according to the grant that they had of Cyrus, king of Persia. And so, as a trustee, you organize contractors and volunteers or work days to complete the highest priorities. You don't do all the lifting yourself. I think of the new door that we have, Western New York Glass and Doors. They provided a very economical solution to the door that had seen its life expectancy was kind of wore out. And met that need. So there will be similar needs in 2024, and you could fill that need of organizing contractors. Verse 8. Now in the second year of their coming unto the house of God at Jerusalem, in the second month began Zerubbabel the son of Sealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and the remnant of their brethren, the priests and the Levites, and all they that were come out of the captivity unto Jerusalem, and appointed the Levites from 20 years old and upward to set forward the work of the house of the Lord. Just broke one of the cardinal rules of preaching. I didn't say when we're on the last verse, so I apologize to Sam most specifically. He keeps track of that sort of thing. So that's going to be our last verse. We see here in verse 8 that they're working with other people, and that really. That is where the blessings come from. It's very difficult to be objective about yourself, about where you are at. It's very easy to think more highly of yourself than you ought to. And when you work with other people, suddenly you observe you observe what they're doing, and it rubs you the wrong way. They didn't do that the right way. They didn't do that the way that I would. And
I think of it as it puts you in your place.
Yeah, yeah, it does, because those irritants, those what's grinding your gears, is really what's wrong with you. It's you're seeing too much of them. You're seeing too much of you in them, and that's really where that we talk of Christian growth. That's where it expedites. It gets faster, harder than you would think is possible. So you may have some hesitancies as far as volunteering for one of the open offices in next year. Maybe it's, I'm not very mechanical, I'm not very handy, I don't think I can devote the time, I don't like people. But within God's command is the power to complete it. He will strengthen you in those areas. I'll say from personal experience, the church has been very long-suffering in learning those. How are you guys doing this morning? I'm so sorry. I didn't even look at you this morning. You guys doing? There's a whole other part of the church over here. Morning. Joshua, thank you for your prayers. Thank you. You need only answer the call and learn what he is teaching you. Thank you. We're going to get out a little early, a little more time for fellowship and to talk to each other. I hope you'd greet the other people that are here. These are my parents, if any. Dad, you want to raise your hand?